Well, then I will call this first meeting of 2021 of the Oregon Board of Forestry to order. I want to wish everybody a happy new year. We are live streaming this meeting on YouTube. We want to ensure our viewers online can follow along with today's meeting. So before we start, I'll go over some familiar housekeeping tips to keep us on track. Everyone participating or presenting, please silence your cell phones and limit background noises. Remember to use the mute feature when you are not speaking. If your video is enabled, feel free to disable if you need to step away. And don't hesitate to use the chat function on Zoom to connect with our ODF support team in Salem during the meeting as needed. For those joining us online, I'll remind everyone of our general order of operations. After an item is introduced, I'll invite the presenters to begin. For board members, if you have clarifying questions, please use the raise hand function and I will call on you. I'm sure that Hillary will help make sure that I don't miss any of those. Presenters, we will do our best to ask questions one at a time. After a presentation, we will open up the floor for board discussion and additional questions. We have one decision item available for public testimony today, which is item two, the 2020 to 2022 board work plans revision discussion. So after the staff presentation, the public comment period will begin for those who signed up. Commenters will be provided 3 minutes each to offer testimony. Following public comments, board members may have follow-up questions for the presenters as we begin our discussion. Board members, we will use the roundtable approach for the voting process, which has seemed to work well at our previous meetings. Additionally, for members of the public, we ask that if you would like to submit written testimony for this meeting's information items and enter it into the record, please send in your comments by January 20th. This will help in preparation of our board's meeting minutes. So any questions from board members on any of this? Okay, if none, I will perform a roll call to confirm that we have a quorum for today's items. Joe Justice?
Here.
Jim Kelly?
Here.
Brenda McComb?
Here.
And I'm Tom Imeson. I'm here, so we do have a quorum today. And our next item of business is the consent agenda items. So I first ask if there's a motion to accept consent items A through F.
Yeah, this is Jim. I would like to make that motion, but I have a few comments first.
Okay. Sure.
I guess I'm a little confused with the two off-free presentations, and I'm assuming that these are on the consent agenda merely for us to acknowledge receipt of them. And I've got some thoughts about both of them. First, I would like to say that I thought that they both had good, useful information. And I also remember that shortly after I came on the board, the first time I saw from Offrey, they had the little booklet that they were producing every year about the state of forestry in Oregon. And I had noted at the time that it did not mention climate change or carbon. And so to me, it's really encouraging to see them doing this at this point. That seems like real progress. But I would also like to mention that although useful, these presentations offer us an industry slant. And for me, I think it's mostly about what is missing in the reports or the conclusions rather than as much as it is about what's in them. A couple of examples, the trees to tap touts the real progress that has been made in recent decades. And that's all true, but it does not even mention the challenges we face with water quality as it relates to endangered species of fish that is such a big issue for us. Nor does it mention the PR and political challenge that any herbicide spraying and residue in drinking water presents, regardless of what one thinks of the actual level of danger. And obviously, this is quite a different picture of the one painted by Tony Schick and Rob Davis in the recent Oregonian OPB ProPublica article. And similarly, the carbon presentation mentions the possibility that real progress can potentially be made with programs targeting small woodlot owners on carbon. But I noted that it ignored the much larger progress that could be made if changes were made to industrial forestry. So for me, all of this is to say, well, I found these presentations useful and I respect the academic research behind them. I think the public would be better served if this information was presented without the industry filter. You know, especially in light of recent revelations about OFFRI. And maybe it'll be appropriate to have at some point some conservation voices have a chance to comment on both of these reports, perhaps just in writing. Anyhow, thanks for listening.
Tom, could I?
I have a couple of other hands up here before we go ahead.
Oh, okay, sorry.
But I'll note yours too, Joe, but Brenda has her hand raised.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. I just want to support Jim's comments. You know, I everything he said, I agree with. I would also point out that the carbon report does not address how to sequester carbon while minimizing greenhouse gas emissions. And so that was another area that I thought was probably a little bit of a pro-industry slant. But the other thing I wanted to comment on the consent agenda was the committee structure. And I have no opposition to the proposed new committee member in...
you're talking about the
weasel. Let's see, it would be item C.
Yeah, okay.
But I would offer that the that ODF really should be providing guidance to those people responsible for selecting committees to be sure that the committee structure is represented by people of all demographics and identities in the state of Oregon. Try to have diversity be a primary characteristic of diversity of committee membership.
Okay. Thank you. And Joe?
Yeah, I as far as the committees, Brenda, you know, I served on the Regional Forest Practice Committee and for a number of years, and it is the state. It is difficult to find people to participate on those committees and to get participation. But I don't disagree that having a broader range of diversity on those committees would help benefit those committees overall. So I agree with you, Brenda. But I do know the challenges of getting people to participate on those committees and engage in those committees meaningfully. I thought I was very impressed with the OFRI articles. I thought, you know, their mission is education. Their mission is to present information in a digestible fashion to educate about forestry and the forest products industry. And I thought they did an excellent job of that. And I think I was frankly very impressed with those publications that they produced. And I think that they are in talk. And I agree with Jim in talking about carbon and bringing that forward and how important that is to the state of Oregon. I just want to commend OFRI for the work they've done in putting that together and putting together that information, you know, primarily from OSU and the academic community that's doing that research. And I think always there's more with any kind of research, any kind of publications that you could put forward. But I just want to say I was very impressed with those publications. I thought OFRI did an excellent job. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. And so, Jim, were you making that motion? I want to go back to you because I thought that's what you indicated you would like to do.
Yes, I'm making a motion that we consent on this consent agenda.
I would second, Tom.
Okay. Motion and second. Any further discussion? Then I'll just call the roll of our... it's a short roll. I want to acknowledge that. On this item, Joe Justice.
Aye.
Jim Kelly.
Aye.
Brenda McComb.
Aye.
And Tom Imeson also votes aye. So those are the consent motion is agreed to. I'll now move to the State Forester Board comments. Peter.
Thanks, Tom. Good morning. Happy New Year, everyone. As I look back on 2020, I would characterize it as a strange and challenging year filled with dramatic and unprecedented events. The year began with hope that the recommendations from the Governor's Council on Wildfire Response, convened by the governor in 2019, would be acted on at the legislative. While action ended with no action being taken on the package, the governor's recommended budget for 2021-23 does propose funding those recommendations. By March, the global pandemic of COVID-19 had soared again, prompting the governor to issue stay-at-home orders to try to quell rising case numbers.
Are we having a bit of a problem? Are other board members having a bit of a problem with the audio here?
That's why I paused. Can you hear me all right?
It was breaking up a bit.
Breaking up, yeah.
But
maybe I'll stop the video and see if that helps.
Okay, thanks.
So in March, the global pandemic had reached Oregon, with the governor issuing stay-at-home orders, and state employees who were ordered to work from home. Our staff quickly moved public meetings and hearings to virtual platforms, as well as our trainings and staff meetings. At the governor's request, our incident command system efforts helped organize the state's COVID response. We deployed all three of our IMT command and general staffs to assist the Emergency Coordination Center. Our staff also supported development of the National Wildfire Coordinating Group's COVID-19 prevention and management guidance during wildland fire operations. Thankfully, strict adherence to the protocol ensured that there were only 6 documented cases of COVID-19 in fire camps in the state, despite tons of firefighters being engaged on Oregon's wildfires in what became a historic, devastating wildfire season. A fast, dry winds fanned dozens of wildfires on Labor Day, which consumed over 1 million acres in a matter of days. 5 of these fires became mega fires, burning over 100,000 acres each. ODF participated in an all-lands approach to wildfire suppression, dispatching all of our incident management teams and bringing in resources from other states and Canada. The destruction was unprecedented, burning 4 times the amount of forest land as the 20th century's worst fire season, the first Tillamook burn in 1933. Sadly, 9 civilians died and over 4,000 residents and 1,000 other structures were destroyed. More than half of the burned area, about 540,000 acres, was on land protected by ODF, marking 2020 as the worst year ever for acres of ODF-protected land burned by wildfire. More than 16,000 acres of our 47,000-acre Santiam State Forest was also burned. And these events were occurring in the context of nationwide social unrest, as much of the country called for racial justice in response to the death of George Floyd and many others in encounters with the police. I remained impressed by my employees' continued resilience and dedication to public service in the face of unprecedented challenges and opportunities on multiple fronts, including the Executive Order 2004 on greenhouse gas reduction, the Forestry MOU and Senate Bill 1602, the Natural and Cultural Resource Recovery Task Force, and three special legislative sessions. I want to thank all of our employees for trying to meet the challenges of providing excellent public service. I cannot say enough about all that they do. I am hopeful that 2021 will bring relief to the COVID pandemic, a much easier fire season, and positive social change. There are some positive signs. December, the governor released her recommended budget and policy agenda for the 2021-23 biennium. It focuses on the key challenges facing Oregonians, the public health and economic impact of the COVID pandemic, recovery from a devastating 2020 wildfire season, and taking steps to end systemic racism and address racial disparities in Oregon. Given that the majority of our requested additions in our agency request budget closely aligned with these priority areas, the governor supported many of our packages as part of her statewide investment, including enhancing the department's efforts in diversity, equity, inclusion, environmental justice, sustainability, and tribal relationships, fire organization sustainability and modernization, along with extra investments into severity, addressing climate change mitigation and adaptation, and facilities and communication infrastructure improvements and restoration, both due to losses from wildfire and additional investments into firefighter life safety. Overall, the proposed budget recommends a $22.8 million increase over our current service level, with 46 additional positions and an increase of 47.5 full-time equivalents. There is a $20.1 million increase in general fund. The GRB partially offsets the increase in general fund by a $12.2 million decrease in general fund through a variety of reductions such as DOJ rates, vacancy savings, decreased inflation on services and supplies, but primarily from three fund shifts. A decrease of $6.1 million by shifting administrative costs for base fire protection to a 50% general fund and a 50% other funds split. That other funds are landowner payments. A fund shift of $1.9 million from general fund to other funds to reflect shifting the 60-40 ratio of general fund to harvest tax to 50-50 for the Forest Practice Administration. And a fund shift of $830,000 general fund to federal funds in our federal restoration program. You'll get more highlights of the GRB additions as in previous biennium. It establishes a special purpose appropriation in the emergency board to pay the state share of the fire insurance premium and to provide critical mobile resources, primarily contract air tankers and helicopters, positioned where and when fire danger is the highest. It has been increased to $8 million to offset the increased cost of the next generation air tanker. Our diversity, equity, and inclusion request was our highest priority policy option package. The GRB provides two positions to further agency strategies on diversity, equity, and inclusion, environmental justice, enhanced sustainability, and government-to-government leadership. We have needed additional capacity to address the statutory requirements in the above issues and to fully integrate strategies and best practices into the agency culture and business management. The governor's budget fully funds our fire organization, sustainability, and modernization package at $6.5 million and 27 positions. This additional capacity will help maintain Oregon's complete and coordinated system and advance ODF's initial and extended attack strategy to remain effective in the face of increased fire severity and complexity. The package is based on the Governor Council's on wildfire response recommendations. The GRB also proposes $20 million in wildfire protection system investments, including severity resources that can be staged around the state. These resources include contract can crews, equipment and overhead resources, rapid transport of firefighters by helicopter, an additional next generation air tanker, an additional call when needed, detection aircraft. The budget also recommends funding our firefighter life safety package at $1.1 million general fund, $500,000 of other funds, and two positions to support the agency's critical life safety communication and location tracking for firefighters and emergency response efforts through operation and maintenance of a wireless communication system, equipment, resources, and infrastructure. The budget also recommends fully funding our forest climate change mitigation and adaptation package at $3.2 million general fund, $306,000 federal funds, and nine positions. This investment will help us implement Executive Order 2004 directing state agencies to take actions to reduce and regulate greenhouse gas emissions. The investments will address afforestation by increasing urban tree canopy cover in disadvantaged and underserved communities to provide climate mitigation benefits while decreasing impacts to vulnerable communities. It will also support improved forest management on both non-federal and federal forest lands and increase utilization of harvested and wood processing residuals and increase use of wood in long-lived products. The budget also addresses some of the workload capacity needs within our facilities capital management program by adding two positions to support responsive adaptation, reoccurring maintenance, and investments required to manage our extensive network of facilities in Salem and the field. The proposed budget also includes funds for deferred maintenance and capital construction for the Toledo facility replacement. Finally, the governor's budget adds a package which reflects recommendations made by DAS consultants, MGO related to fire finances. It proposes four positions in agency administration division to create three area financial managers and one position focused on accounts receivable activities for fire finance. The package also proposes shifting nine positions currently reporting to the Fire Protection Division to agency administration to provide better financial oversight. I had mentioned the special sessions. The third special session of 2020 was held on December 21st, and the governor worked to appropriate $100 million to the emergency fund to be allocated to ODF, Oregon State Fire Marshals, and ODOT for the state wildfire recovery, prevention, and preparedness activities. Of that $100 million, $40 million was allocated to ODF at 32 and OSFM at $8 million, specifically for wildfire preparedness, aircraft, boots on the ground, and work in fire-adapted communities and resilient landscapes. An additional $15 million allocation was specific to funding the remaining general fund balance due for the 2020 fire season. The emergency board had previously approved $25 million on December 11th. We anticipate the emergency board will meet this Friday. They're scheduled for 1 o'clock. the emergency board usually allocates funding within a biennium and only authorizes limited duration positions. Given that there's only 6 months left in the biennium, we only ask for the amount that we can reasonably implement by the end of the biennium, with a request that the remaining funding be allocated into the next biennium. So specific investments that we requested one funding of $30 million for the remainder of this biennium, which is allocated across three areas. $5 million for the advancements of Oregon's wildfire aviation program. If it's funded starting with the 2021 fire season, we would procure one next generation air tanker and one heavy helicopter on daily availability contracts. We currently have no other contracts for these assets, and these assets in particular are often in critical shortage nationwide at our greatest time of need. We would also procure two more single engine air tankers, advancing our current fleet of these assets to a total of seven distributed across the state. We requested $3 million for the advancement of ODF fire season readiness by investing in fire line leadership and critical staff support in areas including financial processing, fire investigation, firefighter safety, and fire cash coordination. Funding includes 25 full-time limited duration positions and 16.75 FTE in seasonal positions. Having this funding approved early in 2021 will mean that we will be able to start hiring these positions and having them in place for the 2021 fire season, which was why the governor wanted action taken prior to the full session. Finally, $5 million to enable the state to work collectively across boundaries to create a shared stewardship approach for implementing meaningful land management activities to create fire-adapted communities and restore and maintain resilient landscapes. One aspect of the request, it will help us provide match relief to leverage additional federal funding requests for U.S. Forest Service state and private forestry funds. The request also includes eight full-time limited duration positions to carry out this work. With that, I'll pause to see if there's any questions on budget movement.
I'm looking for hands up. I'm not seeing any, so I think you can proceed. Thank you.
All right, so the final topic's an update on the Senate Bill 1602 process of the forestry MOU, and the Private Forest Division continues to stay on target with implementing the provisions outlined in Senate Bill 1602. With the November approval of the final rule language for salmon, steelhead, and bull trout streams in the Siskiyou geographic region, these rules are now in place, and the board's support for this has expanded stream protection for approximately 370 miles of streams. There are also additional requirements now in effect for pesticide applications by helicopters to further protect school campuses, inhabited dwellings, and streams. The department has completed training and education on these new requirements by holding several virtual sessions for both external and internal parties and recording and posting these videos on ODF's YouTube channel. Work continues on building a next day announcement system for residents and water users located nearby where pesticide applications by helicopters are planned. And finally, the department has been notified of the mediation discussion between members of the conservation community and timber industry with a kickoff meeting next week. The department continues to support this process and looks forward to future engagement. In closing, I'm looking forward to working with the board to implement the climate change work, especially should the legislature approve the governor's recommended investment in that work. We could use the board's support making this and the other governor's recommendations happen. So with that, any questions? Thank you.
Thanks very much for that extensive report, Peter. That's very helpful. Any questions from board members? Okay, not seeing any. I think we'll continue with our, yes.
I do believe that Brenda did have some comments around OWEB.
Oh, okay. Now I see that. I also see Brenda's hand up. So why don't we go to her, and then we can come back to that other comment if you'd like, Peter. Brenda?
Yeah, thank you, Tom. No, I didn't have any comments or questions regarding Peter's statement, but I did have an update regarding our most recent OWEB meeting in December. As is tradition, the OWEB meetings are two-day meetings with a very engaged and board, working really hard to help the staff in OWEB move forward despite these difficult times. I also had a request that I wanted to make regarding the Santiam Forest Implementation Planning process, but first the OWEB piece. OWEB has provided focused funding to assist in fire recovery and is working with ODF on the Fire Recovery Task Force. So they just wanted to make sure, Maida and Renee wanted me to thank ODF for that partnership in that regard. OWEB also has several committees, the newly formed committees that are working hard. The Climate Committee is up and running and developing recommendations to OWEB on how to incorporate climate change considerations into all that they do. They also have a Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee, which has been very active. And the OWEB agreed to commit that all board members will complete a DEI survey, that the committee will analyze the results and report those back out at the board meetings. And this is one that I think we might consider for Board of Forestry meetings too, and that is to include DEI as a standing agenda item for all board and coordinating committee meetings. They're taking DEI very seriously, and I think that ODF is as well, but I think we probably could do a better job being more transparent with that. At the OWEB meeting, we had an update on the on Oregon's 100-year water vision, and we also had an update on the focused investment projects, including one, which is the Rogue Forest Restoration Initiative, where they're doing some really great work in Southwest Oregon, reducing fire risk while at the same time adding complexity to forests in that region. Couple of other things. The staff recommended that the board approve receipt of up to $140,000 from ODF in support of the Conservation Reserve CREP Technical Assistance Grant. So again, they wanted me to be sure that we thanked ODF for that partnership as well. And then OWEB is working with the Department of Forestry and DEQ at the request of the governor's office on the Natural and Cultural Resources Recovery Task Force. And so there's a great partnership there as well. So that was a few highlights from two day-long meetings, but clearly there is some partnership between ODF and OWEB, and I just wanted to point that out. But that leads me to my request, and that is, you know, I've discussed with Liz Dent the plans for the Santiam State Forest implementation and recovery following the fires. Shared with her some concerns and thoughts that I had. What I would really appreciate, given the speed with which ODF is moving forward on recovery efforts on the Santiam State Forest, is an update from Liz and her team on what will be done, what, given the in the spirit of partnership with other state agencies, what are DEQ's views of what's being proposed on the Sandy Am? What is the Oregon Global Warming Commission's views in terms of effects on carbon and carbon sequestration? What are ODFW's views regarding fish and wildlife habitat? Really begin to understand how agencies are cooperating together to ensure that what's being done on the Santee Am is done in the spirit of cross-agency collaboration. So I'd request that we have an update at the March Board of Forestry meeting, if that's at all possible.
Okay, thanks a lot for your report, Brenda, and for the request. Peter, can you, I see that Liz is on, but not necessarily, I don't know if she is.
Well, given that,
Peter, if you could help us out at this point, that would be great.
Given that we're just about to move into the topic on revisions to the work plan, I think this will be an ideal topic just to cover within the State Forest Work Plan.
Great. Does that work for you then, also, Brenda?
Well, I requested that an update be provided, which includes other agency input in the March meeting.
Right, but we can have some further discussion of that as we move into this next item. Opportunity for a March conversation, I guess. Right.
Okay, as long as we don't lose sight of that request, fine.
Yeah. Nope. The request will be addressed. So, great. Any other comments from board members?